I heard Brother Wayne talk about several who have fallen, and we're praying for them. And I couldn't help but remember 3 years ago, I had an experience like that. As you get older, sometimes your mind thinks it's younger than your body. Have you understood that yet?
Yeah.
I was pruning my plum tree. I could reach every limb except one, the one right on the top. I was on a 6-foot ladder. I was on next to the highest rung. And the thought occurred to me, you can step up on top of the ladder and clip that limb and then step back. That's what my mind said. I believe my mind. I stepped up on the top of that ladder, and before I could come back, the ladder went one way and I went the other way. Thank the Lord, there were no broken bones, but I had a man a mile away who said he felt the tremor. He just didn't know what it was. Well, I'll tell you what, you need to listen to your body sometimes instead of your mind. Today I want to turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I want to begin reading at verse number 13. Rather lengthy passage of scripture, but I feel like I need to read it all. I want to speak on the subject today, walking with the risen Lord. Walking with the risen Lord. Listen to the reading of the Word of God in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse number 13. And behold, two of his followers, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk, and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it would have been he which would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when they went early to the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set it meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them. in breaking of bread, walking with a risen Lord. Let's pray together. Father, the little song says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. And I come to acknowledge this morning that I am weak, but thank God you're strong. And I want to ask you to take this weak vessel, and with your mighty strength, you bless your people through the preaching of your word. And call us to yourself and give us grace to respond to your call upon our lives. And we shall be grateful forever. For we ask our prayer in Jesus' name, and for his glory we ask it. Amen. It has been said that the most significant event in human history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To be sure, it is fundamental to our Christian faith. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus, Christianity does not exist. If he had not come out of the grave, then his birth, his life, his claims, even his death would have been meaningless. That's why I believe that the Apostle Paul said, if Christ be not risen, our faith is vain. Our preaching is not true. Our sins are not forgiven. We are of all men most miserable because our future is hopeless. We cannot minimize the impact that the resurrection has on the lives of his people. And so today I want to talk about how a couple of his disciples were transformed one day from a very, very poor life, poor day to a wonderful, wonderful day. In fact, as they walked with the Lord Jesus and spent time with him, he turned their night into day. He turned their gloom into gladness. He turned their sobs into a song. He turned their sadness into a day of gladness. So I want to talk for a few minutes about walking with the risen Lord. As we follow these men, or this couple, there are three things I want us to see about them. Number one, notice their burdened hearts. Secondly, notice their burning hearts. And then thirdly, consider their believing hearts. First of all, there is their burdened hearts. We don't know a lot about these two followers of our Lord. We know one of their names was Cleopas, the other one is unnamed. John Phillips believes that the other was the wife of Cleopas, but who knows who that second disciple was. Apparently they lived in the little village of Emmaus, and they were traveling back from Jerusalem to that little town, burdened down with the weight of sorrow. Though we don't know anything else about them except what we read here, we read of three things that we're certain of at that day. First of all, we know of their depression. For Jesus said, "Why are you so sad? What are you talking about that makes you so sad?" They were depressed. You see, it had been 3 days since Jesus had been crucified, and from a distance they no doubt had watched him die in horror as he was nailed to the cross and lifted up to die, and they had never seen a more shameful or a more painful death. And it was happening to one they loved, one they served, one they followed, one they worshiped. He was their master. He was their leader. He was their savior. He was their friend. But now he's dead. And when he died, their faith was shaken. Their dreams were crushed. Their hopes were shattered. What would happen to them now? Where would they go? What would they do? To whom would they turn? And so they walked that dusty road toward Emmaus with a bowed head and with heavy hearts. They were indeed a depressed people. But while we say something about their depression, we also see something about their doubts. I'm convinced the reason they were depressed was because of the doubt in mind. Their faith was shaken, their hopes were crushed, and doubts began to flood their mind, and they were serious doubts. For one thing, they were doubting the word of their Lord. For you see, Jesus had often told them, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 40, he had said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the stomach of the fish, so the Son of Man must be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In Mark chapter 8, in verse 31, he said that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected and be killed, but in 3 days he will be raised again. In John 2:19, he had said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. And in John 14:3, he had said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But all of these words that Jesus had said, now they were doubting the word of the Lord Jesus. They were doubting his resurrection. When you doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are doubting the authority and the truthfulness of his word, and that's a serious matter. But no longer had they doubts about the word of their Lord, they also doubted the witness of their friends. There were some women who loved Jesus who went to the tomb on the first day of the week, early in the morning, to anoint the body of their dead Savior, they thought. When they arrived, the stone was moved that had sealed the tomb, and the tomb was empty, and there were two angels that said, He has risen from the dead as He promised. These women came back and told the group, with excitement, he's alive, the tomb is empty. But these disciples didn't believe their word. Peter and John went to the temple, to the sepulcher as well, to the tomb as well, to investigate what the women had said. And they came back with a report, the tomb was empty, and the grave clothes were undisturbed, and the cloth that wrapped his face was folded in a separate place. But these disciples didn't believe. If one will not believe the word of the Lord, then certainly they are not going to believe the witness of their friends. And so they walked that road with bowed heads and heavy hearts in great sorrow. We talk about their depression, and we talk about their doubts. We also know about their discussion. For the text says, they talked about all the things that had happened. I'm not sure all that they said, but can you imagine what may have gone on in that conversation? Maybe they began with this triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and they talked about how the shouts of the people turned from Hosanna, Hosanna, to crucify him, crucify him. And perhaps they revisited the Garden of Gethsemane and remember the agony in the garden. Maybe they talked about the betrayal of Judas Iscariot and the denial of Simon Peter. And maybe they talked about the arrest of Jesus in the garden and then the mock trial and then the awful scourge of the Romans that beat him unmercifully. And then, of course, Calvary. The agony of the cross, they must have spent time talking about that. And how could they explain the 3 hours of darkness upon the earth? And what did it mean when they heard their Lord say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How they explained the earthquake and the graves being opened and the rending of the veil and the temple from top to bottom. And so they discussed it and they reasoned it out. How can we put all of these things together? How does that fit into our concept of Messiah? And so they walked the dusty road with a bowed head and heavy heart. Their hearts were burdened. But their burdened hearts turned to a burning heart. Let me share with you how it happened. First of all, there was the interruption of a stranger. As they walked along the road, all of a sudden, there was another person there with them. We know who it was, but they didn't recognize him. I can understand why they probably did not recognize him with their eyes, because no doubt they never looked up. But I wondered, why didn't they recognize his voice? They had heard him talk so much. Why didn't they recognize his voice? I'm convinced it was a supernatural blindness right now, because the Lord was not prepared to reveal himself to them until he carried them to the Scripture. I have discovered this. The more I want to know about Jesus, I must spend more time in his Word. And the more time I spend in the Scripture, the more I understand something of the blessedness and the holiness and the mercy and the grace of my Savior. And so our Lord did not reveal himself until he carried them to the Scripture. The interruption of the stranger. That's what Cleopatra called him. Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? That's what he called him. But while there was the interruption of the stranger, there was a conversation with the Savior. Jesus opened up the conversation. What are you guys talking about that makes you so sad? And as they answered him, Cleopas answered, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not heard what happened in Jerusalem? And Jesus says, what happened? What things are you talking about? It's a wonderful thing to me to know that our gracious Lord will let us tell him things that he already knows. You know, he knows all things, you understand that, and yet he invites us to tell him all the things that we know, because he just loves to have company with us. He loves to hear us talk to him, and he loves to talk to us. That's a wonderful thing about prayer. I've always said it's a marvel to me that our Lord wants to hear from me. I can understand how I enjoy his presence and his fellowship, but to know that he enjoys my fellowship is a glorious mystery. And he said to them, you tell me what things went on. And so both of them began to answer together. Oh, haven't you heard about Jesus of Nazareth, a man mighty in word and deed before God and all the people, and how the religious leaders condemned him to death and had him crucified? Haven't you heard about that? And we had hoped he had been the deliverer, the Messiah, the one who would deliver Israel. That's what we had hoped. Now he's dead. It's been 3 days. And oh yes, there were some women who came and said they saw some angels who said he was alive, but they didn't see him. We didn't believe them. Some of the guys came back and said they'd investigated. They too said the tomb was empty, but we weren't ready to believe them either. And so there was the conversation that went on with Jesus. I want to know the third thing. Notice not only the interruption of the stranger and the conversation with the Savior, but notice the exposition of the Scripture. Jesus says, oh, you foolish one and slow of heart, who is slow to believe all that the prophets had said. You see what you did? You missed part of it. Yes, you accepted the parts you wanted to believe, but the other parts you did not accept. And there are a lot of people today who pick out the Scripture they want to believe and want to love, but they don't believe all the Scripture. Well, the Bible says all Scripture is inspired of God, is profitable to us. I learned a long time ago as a young preacher, though I didn't understand it all, I couldn't explain it all, I'm prepared to die saying I believe in the authority and the inspiration and the infallibility and the inerrancy of the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. And Jesus said that you're slow to believe it all. Why don't you believe all the prophets said? Yes, they talked about His being a king, but they also talked about His being a servant. You overlooked that part that you read about Him being exalted, but you forgot to talk about what they said about His humiliation. You failed to understand there was a cross before there was a crown. There was suffering before there was glory. Oh, you are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets, the Scripture had said. And then the Bible says, beginning at Moses, He began to explain to them all things concerning Himself. You talk about a Bible conference, I'm telling you, oh, what a Bible conference that must have been. As they walked that dusty road, all of a sudden, their heads began to lift and the burden of their heart began to melt away as He opened the Word of God to them. I don't know what He said, but I can imagine He might have begun all the way back in Genesis 3:15, where the promise was that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the serpent will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. And maybe He went to Genesis 22, where Abraham said to Isaac, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb as a sacrifice." And maybe Jesus said, that sacrifice that Abraham talked about was me, it was I, it was I. Maybe He went to Exodus chapter 12 and talked about the Passover lamb, which blood was shed and applied to the gatepost, and it saved the hand of judgment from bringing death to the firstborn. The Passover lamb, that represented me, your Passover lamb, your sacrificial lamb. From there, maybe He went to Leviticus 16 to talk about the Day of Atonement, where the high priest put his hands on the head of the scapegoat and then turned the gate, the goat loosed, to the wilderness, never be seen again, and saying, "Goodbye, sins of Israel. Your sins are borne away, they're gone." And then He laid His hand on the head of the sacrificial goat and confessed the sins, and then slit His throat and caught His blood and went inside the Holy of Holies and sprinkled on the mercy seat for the atonement of the sins of the nation. Yes. Maybe Jesus said, "I am not only the scapegoat who bore your sins, but I was a sacrificial lamb that died for your sins, not just to bear your sins away, but to take them away forever, not just to cover your sins, but to wash them from every stain and every blot in your life." Oh, maybe that's what He said. Maybe He went to Psalm 22, where Jesus quoted from the psalmist on the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then to Isaiah 53. You know He went there. Isaiah 53, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is laid upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." You know He went there to talk about all things referring to Himself. I'd love to have been there, wouldn't you? I'm telling you, to know what Jesus said about Himself from the Scripture, from the Old Testament Scripture. I read where somebody said the other day, the Old Testament was not important to us. You better believe it's important. It talks about my Savior. It talks about Jesus. I'm going to read the Old Testament, aren't you? Because it talks about the Lord Jesus. And our Lord opened up the Scripture to them. No wonder they said later, how our hearts burn within us as He talked with us by the way and opened up the Scripture. Ah, the burdened hearts had become burning hearts. But then there's the closing word. Those burdened hearts became burning hearts, and then they became believing hearts. There were several things opened that day. Number one, the Word of God was opened as Jesus expounded unto them. And then their hearts were opened to receive the word, to receive what Jesus said about himself from the scripture. And then their homes were opened. Jesus had pretended he was going on, and they said, no, you can't leave. You can't leave us here. Come inside and stay with us. We want to hear more. I'm telling you, we want to hear more. We can't let you go. And the word said, they constrained, they compelled him. Come in, Jesus. We want you in our home to tell us more about yourself. Have you not discovered the more that you know about him, the more you want to know about him? Come in, Jesus, to our home. When they heard the open scripture and they opened their hearts, they opened their home. I hope your home is open to him. I hope it is. Has your heart been open to hear his word? And as you have received him into your heart, then you have opened your home to him. Welcome, Lord Jesus, into our home. Welcome, Lord Jesus. And spend all the time, spend every moment in our home. We want you to feel welcome in our place. And so the home was open. And then the Bible says their eyes were opened. As he sat with them and talked with them even further, they forgot they were the host. I'm telling you, food was not a priority right now. They were enjoying manna from heaven. And so they just forgot where they were. It was Jesus who took the bread then and began to break it and bless it and gave it to them. And then the Bible says their eyes were open. They saw him. They saw him. What was it that made them recognize him? Was it the way he broke the bread, or the way he blessed the bread? Or did they see the nail prints in his hand? I don't know. I'm convinced the Holy Spirit just all of a sudden opened their eyes. And what they had seen by faith in their heart, they now saw with their eyes of sight. That's what it is it not? The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so they heard the word, and they received the word, and their eyes were open, and they saw him as they enjoyed the fellowship with the risen Lord in their home. I've often thought about that, and in that old song, Trust and Obey, it says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Have you been there? Have you been there enjoying the glory of the Lord in the presence of the risen Christ? The open word, the open hearts, the open home, the open eyes, and then there was the open mouth. Jesus vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, we've got to go back to Jerusalem. We've got to go back. 7 or 8 miles back, we're tired. It's dark now, but we can't wait till tomorrow. We've got to go back. We've got to go back because this is too good a news to keep to ourselves. We must go back to Jerusalem and tell our friends, tell our brothers and sisters that Jesus is alive. And so they got back on that dusty road and they walked that 8 miles back to Jerusalem through the western gate, down the street, up to the house, up the stairs, the upper room, and into the house. And they came in and they said, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. We saw him. We heard him. We talked with him. We walked with him. We ate with him. He's alive. He's alive. We had to come back and tell you. I want to tell this congregation today that he is alive. Yes, he is. I'll tell you, he is. I heard him this morning. I talked with him this morning. I walked with him this morning. I ate with him this morning. I rode to church with him this morning. Hey, I'm worshiping him with you this morning. He's here. He's here. He's alive. How do I know? Because he lives in my heart. Does he live in yours? Does he live in yours? The glory and the joy and the beauty of walking with the risen Lord. Brother Wayne, I don't know how you give invitations here, but I'm going to let you take over because I don't know. God bless you for letting me come. Oh, God bless you. And God bless you, dear people. Open your hearts if you haven't. Open your home. Open your eyes and open your mouth and tell the sweet story that he is alive.